Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Dr. Michael Fenster is a cardiologist, a gourmet chef, author, TV personality, and host of Code Delicious. Here's Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation and Healthy Nation. You may have to cover your ears today because we are going to be discussing some salty language. My guest to discuss salt is an incredible speaker in huge demand throughout the country, where he talks about living healthy, eating healthy, and the process, a very important process of lifelong learning. Daryl Bosshart is currently working with the Redmond Trading Company in Utah, and no coincidence, they're a manufacturing distributor for natural, healthy, and sustainable products. Interestingly, Daryl grew up in the family mineral business in Redmond, Utah, and that is the perfect segue into what I wanted to cover today. You know, folks, if you haven't gotten a copy of The Fallacy of Calorie, you need to have it. Oh, there's a whole chapter in there on salt. I also want to know what you're thinking today, your salty thoughts. So call in toll-free, 877-711-5211. Once again, that's 877-711-5211. Or just tweet me on Twitter at WCWD. And, you know, what I've written about and have been a passion of mine as a chef, I always season my food. I always use a little bit of salt. Very, very important to build those layers of flavor, make our food, our wholesome, fresh food, absolutely, absolutely delicious, scrumptious, tasty. And in certain instances, when you're grilling that steak, that salt actually adds a wonderful texture as that meat undergoes the Maillard reaction. It gets kind of crispy on the outside, hot off the grill. But salt's gotten a bad rap. And, you know, I could go into the history of it, which goes back to the 1970s, and actually did cover a lot of that in a recent medical grand rounds that I gave. And what you see when you look at the history is that a lot of these recommendations, which we have just now started to turn the ship away from because we've been sailing in the wrong direction for, oh, let's say maybe half a century or so, those recommendations weren't really based on good science. But in the ensuing 50 plus years, there's been a lot of politics and a lot of economics involved in offering you low salt, no salt, salt-free type of offerings on the shelf space. Also, a lot of careers built in and on pursuing the supposed, what I would consider a fallacy, of the low salt approach. And just this week, you can read about in the Post, I was quoted in the New York Post, another study came out in the International Journal of Epidemiology and found, guess what? The data is not compelling. It is not 100%. And yet, in New York City, they're still requiring restaurants now. There's a law, and they were about to go out and start fining these restaurants to put a warning symbol next to items that had over 2,300 milligrams of sodium. Doing this without any unrefutable, secure, you can't deny it, it's as simple fact as the earth is round sort of science, I find a bit arbitrary and capricious. And so, Daryl, I'm excited to hear your thoughts, you know, on them trying to enact this again in New York City, which, by the way, already went through with Mayor Bloomberg when he was mayor, a whole series of the salt warnings and the calories on the food, which studies showed did absolutely nothing in changing sort of people's food choices. But I'm interested in, on your take, because I think this is this really getting to the point where, you know, we've got a bad nanny. You know, the nanny state's coming in and telling us, oh, you know, it's for your benefit. We're going to put these warnings up here. Stay away from it. Yet the science does not support it. And that's what this article pointed out in this recent study. What do you think?
You know, I absolutely agree. And as a cardiologist, I'm sure you can relate to this as well. You know, if you have a patient that comes into the hospital, the first thing that we're going to do to that patient is give them an IV, and it's going to be an IV of saline solution, which is salt water. And in fact, an IV of distilled water, or an IV of Coca-Cola, or an IV of tap water, or an IV of tea or coffee, or an IV of anything but saline solution is going to be disastrous to that individual. And that's because our bodies are saline solution in motion, and we need this good salt. Now, unfortunately, like you pointed out, a lot of the foods that we have today in the processed food section of the grocery store, it does have a lot of highly processed salt in it and all sorts of other stuff that you probably don't want to be eating. And so, as you pointed out in this research, it's not the salt that's causing the problem. It's all the chemicals that are in the food and or the chemicals that are in the salt that are leading to this issue. It's not the salt, which is, like we pointed out, is kind of essential for health.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for the listeners, what I want to point out, I have a chemistry background, so, and we talk about salt, and really, I'm going to take a step back and define what we're really talking about, because what people are really talking about is sodium, and it's the sodium level. And you bring up a great point. When we say salt, table salt, the sea salt, also basically sodium chloride, and we'll talk about the different salts a little bit later on in this segment. But we're really talking about sodium chloride. And what people are concerned about is the excessive amount of sodium that gets into the body. And where does that sodium come from? Well, 77% of the sodium comes from processed and packaged foods. As you point out, it's not that those foods may have a lot of sodium chloride per se, because a lot of times it would be taste too salty for us and we wouldn't enjoy them, other than things like chips that people eat, where you're expecting kind of that salty pleasure from a pretzel or, you know, whatever that salty food might be. But it comes in the form of, you know, sodium bicarbonate as preservatives. Sodium is in the flavor enhancers, et cetera, et cetera. I went through in the book, I think I came up across about 80-something different sodium compounds besides sodium chloride or salt that are added to package foods in, you know, in various degrees. And you're spot on. People, if you want to cut down your sodium, stop eating the processed food. Don't worry about seasoning your food properly. Would you agree that's a fair statement?
You know, I think that is absolutely true. And on top of that, I think one of the fallacies when it comes to salt is this idea that sea salt, this term sea salt, always means it's better. When in reality, if you go into a health food store, even a grocery store, and you look at the labels on some of the different salt products, there's actually products that are sold under the name sea salt that is really sea grade. I mean, it's got all kinds of chemicals in it. And so today, when you go in and look for a natural salt, you don't want to look for the term sea salt. You want to, like with many products, flip the label over and look at a few different things. Are they adding anything to it? Where is the salt coming from? Is it coming from a current ocean? Is it coming from an ancient seabed? And what are they doing to it? Are they adding any chemicals? Are they taking any other electrolytes out? You know, seawater occurs as a complex chloride. We've got in the oceans calcium chloride, potassium chloride, magnesium chloride. But many salt companies will actually remove some of these other chlorides. And then the product that you're left with is a refined salt that then we've added, you know, chemicals and anti-caking agents.
Right,
and at that
right.
point, it doesn't act like salt in the body.
And I think that's really important. I'm a salt aficionado. You know, I go on a trip, and I was in Europe speaking at a conference on the Mediterranean diet in Crete. And everywhere I stopped, you know, that's what I did. I talked to the local folks. Hey, this is a local salt from here. I've got, you know, peat smoked salt from Scotland. I've got, you know, Scandinavian true sea salt. So I'm a salt aficionado. And, you know, folks can use, I use real salt, have for years. And that comes from an ancient seabed. And you could probably actually speak to that a little bit better. So why don't you tell the folks kind of the difference between, real salt, which is basically from an extinct ocean, if I got my facts correct, correct me if I'm wrong, versus, as you said, some of these sea salts, which are actually industrially processed salts with things removed, and then things like anti-caking agents added for mass production.
Sure. And so, yeah, so all salts, really, regardless of how they're produced, can be defined as a sea salt because they come from a seabed at some point. It might be coming from the San Francisco Bay, the Gulf of Mexico, which are current oceans. The salt could come from a dead sea, like the Dead Sea in Israel, or even the Great Salt Lake in Utah. Or the salt could come from a prehistoric or an ancient seabed, a seabed that was laid down during the Jurassic era, long before we had some of the, you know, the Exxon Valdez and the BP and the Japan situations that, unfortunately, today our oceans aren't as clean as they were 50 years ago, let alone, 2,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 or a million years ago when these primordial seas were laid down. And so that's the first difference, is finding out where the salt's coming from. If you were to find a good salt, I probably wouldn't start at the San Francisco Bay or the Hudson, the problems we have in our current oceans. And so that's the first deal, is finding out where the salt's coming from. The real salt from Utah is from an ancient seabed. Now, the second question you want to ask any salt producer, and these three questions apply to kale or any food you're eating, because these three questions will get you good products. So the first is where is it coming from? Find the actual source of the deposit. With our food today, transparency is getting to be a bit of a challenge, because the food can change so many hands, and so you may not know exactly where it's coming from. The second question is finding out who's producing it, because you can have maybe two farmers' fields in Idaho doing potatoes or something, and even though they're both coming from Idaho, the one field may be using chemicals and processes that you want to avoid. And so know both who is producing it. Second off is where it's coming from. And then the third question is, what are they doing to it? And in terms of salt, knowing where it's coming from, knowing who the producer is, so many salts end up on the open market, and then trying to go back and find out which either salt bed or ancient seabed the salt comes from is a bit of a challenge. And then the final question is, going back to that idea of anti-caking agents that you mentioned, there's dozens of different anti-caking agents that are approved as an ingredient in salt. Some of these are not really terrible, things like magnesia. You've got other ones, though, like yellow prussiate of soda, which is sodium ferrous cyanide. And again, that's not something you want to be ingesting on a daily basis. If you can avoid it, even if it's in trace amounts, why would you want to eat a little sodium ferrous cyanide every day that's in with your salt? And the reason that salt companies put these chemicals in salt is salt is naturally hygroscopic, which means it absorbs moisture out of the air.
Right.
And so salt has a tendency to clump, and so these chemicals are added to make it not clump, things like dextrose, sodium silico aluminate, things that you don't want to be eating every morning on your whatever you're eating for breakfast. You just don't want to be eating.
Those don't sound appetizing at all. Cyanide and all the others. Definitely, when I'm thinking of kicking up the flavor of my food, that's not the accoutrements that come to mind. I think this really goes to, and I'm a big, as folks know, who've read the book, who've been to some of the demos, I'm really big on building flavor levels with textures and different herbs and spices and those appropriate combinations. And this is really something that you should be doing with anything that goes in your body, whether it's a steak, whether it's the vegetable. We've really got to know where our food is coming from, for the reasons you mentioned, because it's so easy not to. Things like an organic label help, because we know that there's certain criteria that have to be met, and so we can have certain assurances. But nothing beats spending a little bit of time and effort to know where your food comes from. That's why I really love what a lot of the young, exciting chefs have done around the country, is they've really got people in the mood to go out to that local farmer's market, locally source, and do the same thing now for your herbs and spices. And I include salt in there, though technically it's neither an herb nor a spice. It's a stone. It's a rock. It's a compound. It's salt. I think we always include kind of salt in there. And, I want to tell folks, to just touch again very briefly on the health bits. One of the interesting things, if you actually delve, and I've done this again in the chapter on the book, go to cardiochef.com, get your copy today if you haven't, The Fallacy of the Calorie, but was really to delve into the government regulations and the history of how all this came to fruition about the anti-salt campaign and limiting salt intake. And it actually comes from rats that were bred to be hypertensive when they got a lot of sodium. Interestingly, the natural genetic variation of those rats that did not develop hypertension was salt. Both of these cages of animals were given salt. The ones that were salt sensitive and bred to be that way got hypertension. The other ones didn't. That's what all these government recommendations actually are derived from, those rat trials. But their approach, and it actually says this in the legislation and in the recommendations, is that there is no known downside to decreasing the amount of salt in the diet. And these, again, were written in the 70s when we didn't have that knowledge. Well, it has come out since then. When we start looking at, and a number of studies have shown this, less than 1.5 grams per day of sodium, what we start to see is that it's a J-shaped curve, and there's actually an increase in mortality. So it's very, very interesting. Like a lot of things in medicine, what we thought was a straight line, actually, you know, there is a sort of a breaking point and diminishing returns where we start to see increasing mortality. So that 5% of sodium that's coming in the diet when you properly season your food, you know, I recommend folks do it. And really what we've seen now when we look at the literature from 10,000 feet is that, you know, anywhere from 1.5 up to about 6 grams per day is when we're in that safe zone. And currently Americans are only consuming about 3.4 grams. So clearly it's kind of within that safe window. So what I'm telling folks is, you know, spend a little bit extra for that good salt that you like. I do recommend, I use real salt. I like recommending those types of salts that contain other trace elements. A lot of them have different flavors. You can get some funky salts. I have finishing salts, which are a little bit different. So I have my regular kosher salt that's my everyday seasoning, building flavor levels. But, you know, when I have a garden fresh tomato, some fresh baked ancient grains bread, I've made some homemade mozzarella, I put some good Italian olive oil on that. And by the way, the Mediterranean diet is extremely high in salt, because to counterbalance the bitterness of olive oil, you use salt, actually, not sugar, to balance out that sort of bitter astringent flavor and make the oil much more palatable with the salt. That's when I go for those more expensive finishing salts. That's where I might use that peat smoked or whiskey smoked salt. There's some salt from places in India that do have high sulfur, black salt actually, and yeah, it has a distinctive flavor. And I really want to encourage, you know, folks to make their food tasty, you know, and not just rely on all the prepackaged food. When you're seasoning fresh food, you're getting much, much less sodium than if you buy a processed version of that food.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, food should taste good, and the right kind of salt will help it do that without any of the negative aspects that maybe we've associated with salt in years past.
Well, I think we have. I think we've been sort of bludgeoned over the head like, you know, baby harp seals about cut the sodium, cut the sodium. And as a cardiologist, I've got to say, you know, I heard it for years and years. And as a chef, I was like, you know, how can this be bad? You know, we were built on salt. We need it for life. I've actually seen the detriment of people coming in hyponatremic and having seizures as a result of their salt levels being too low, which you referenced kind of at the beginning, which is why we use half normal saline. Normal salt water to restore our volume in our bodies. And so I think that it's very important that folks say, well, if you want to cut down the sodium, I say, you know, cut out the processed, prepackaged, drive-through junk food that is so much of the modern Western diet. When you get the fresh stuff, don't be afraid to make it taste good. You know, and really, as I said, you know, I'm biased, but I absolutely love the concept of all these different salt flavors, and they do cost a little bit more, but I think that you really want to use them as a finishing salt, and it puts an incredible professional touch on your dishes. And you guys at Real Salt, do you offer different flavors of salts, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We have some organic freeze-dried garlic salt. We've got a seasoning blend that's got celery and paprika, very nice seasoning, fresh herb blend.
So head over to realsalt.com, and they can check that out. Darryl, I want to thank you for being there today. I really appreciate sharing a bit of salty language with us.